Amen. Right now is the highlight of your week. You don't even might not even realize that, but it is. You know, the way that the Lord does things in Mark chapter 14, talking about the parable of the sower. And I'm going to pray here in a second. But we see that Jesus preached the word, and the Bible says that the word goes forth like a seed. It says the sower sows the word. And it says these are they which where the word is sown, and it talks about four different types of people. We've had series on the parable of the sower, and the Bible says that the word or the seed of the word falls onto four different types of people: the wayside ground, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. And Jesus made an alarming, showed us an alarming revelation. He said that all four types of the grounds, the wayside, the thorny ground, and the stony ground, and the good ground, one thing they all had in common is they all heard the word. The Bible says that the word is quick and powerful. It's alive. It's able to change lives. But he said that the wayside ground, the stony ground, and the thorny ground didn't get anything out of it. But he said the one-fourth ground, the good ground, some received 30, 60, and 100-fold back. He said that there was one out of four people that hear the word of God that grow. But notice the only way to grow is by the word. The only way for change is by the word. And so let's be the good ground tonight, because we're all getting the word sown on us tonight. Now, whether or not we walk out of here with anything that changed our lives or helped us, you know, one of the things that I am so grateful that the Lord called me to pastor, you know, I came out of severe addiction. I came out of severe depression. I mean, I'm talking depression where I shouldn't be here anymore. And, you know, came out of just a dark, dark place, you know. And the Word turned that all around for me. Amen. It was the Word of God, the power of the Word. And I told the Lord, I said, Jesus, I saw what your Word did for me. I said, I will preach your Word from the front page to the back page. And because so many people play church. You know what I mean by playing church? They show up, and they have a form of church, you know, but the main reason is for the Word of God. And so we're going to get the Word tonight and be blessed. So open your Bibles, if you have them, to Mark chapter 11, verse 24. If you don't, we put a TV on the wall for you, so you could have a Bible right up on the TV. That's the biggest Bible I've ever seen, right there. Mark 11, 24 is where we're going to start tonight, and let's go ahead and pray and believe God for utterance. How many of you know I don't know what you need to hear? But He does. Amen. And the Bible says if I'll give myself to Him wholly, He'll speak through me as the oracles of God. And I'll say things tonight that are going to ring true in your heart. And you say, man, how in the world did Pastor Mike know I needed to hear that? And the truth is, I didn't, but He did. Praise God. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to get into your word tonight. Lord, what a precious, precious subject that we're going to talk about tonight that will change lives. That I remember when this was preached unto me years and years ago, Father, and what it's done for me ever since. So, Lord, I pray that the same results would happen in these people's lives, that their eyes would be open, that their hearts would be open, that revelation would come unto them, and change would come into their life, Father, and they would be filled with hope walking out of here. And so, Lord, only you can take a room full of people that are going through different things and different circumstances and different situations and meet their needs, Father. So like the psalmist of old said, Lord, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Lord, I endeavor to speak as the oracles of God tonight, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, I thank you when I open my mouth, you'll fill it. Words from heaven will come out of my mouth, striking people right in their heart, Father. Specific things that they need to hear that are pertinent to their life, Father, and it'll be a sign unto them. Lord, that you're supernatural, that you don't just have to go to church to play church. You go to church to get your life changed. And that, Father, that you love them, that you have a better tomorrow for them. But, Father, also that this place, Family Church Allegheny, is actually a place where people can come and hear the Word of God and hear from heaven and watch things start to turn, watch things start to change. And, Father, we thank you that your Word is that powerful, your Word is that good, and we give you the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, it says here, this is Jesus. Now, the screen doesn't put it in red, but it is Jesus talking here. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, he said, believe that you receive them, and you'll have them. Now, I remember the first time I became acquainted with this verse. I got saved in 2002, which is, 17 years ago. I was 23 years old. That makes me 40. And, you know, if I didn't have the gray hair, I think people would think I was in my 20s. And the reason I say that is I had someone show up at my house not too long ago and asked for my mom and dad. Well, I had a hat on. They didn't see all the gray up here, but they asked for my mom and dad. I said, I'm sorry, I don't live with them anymore. I am the mom and dad of the house now. That's me. But I remember hearing about this verse when I was 23 years old, and I remember reading it, and it came alive to me a little bit. But then when I went to a Bible school in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and I went to Rhema Bible Training Center under Kenneth E. Hagin, and he talked about this verse, and his ministry is built on this verse, you know. And he talked about how he first came to know this verse on the bed of affliction. He was in bed in an incurable heart disease on his way for death, and he was a Christian, just crying out to God. And nothing happened. You know, a lot of people cry out to God, and nothing happens. Amen. I'm telling you, a lot of people cry out to God, and nothing happens. Why? Well, one thing we're learning, and one thing we're seeing, is there's a God side and there's a man side. There is. There's a God word side and a man side. Well, what's God's side? God gave us Jesus. Jesus hung on the cross. He says, it is finished. People crying out to God about things. He said, it's finished. Well, what did he give us? Well, he gave us a GPS. He gave us a roadmap. He gave us a compass. What does a roadmap, a GPS, and a compass do? Well, when you need to get to someplace, you might need to get to healing. You might need to get to soundness of mind, or your emotions are going crazy, or you need to get to prosperity or things going on in your family. You need to get there, and you don't know how to get there, and you're stuck in a rut. Well, a GPS, when you're lost, tells you how to get to where you need to go. A GPS tells you where you want to go. GPS, when you're in the wrong place, will point you in the right direction. Well, the Word of God is our GPS. And Jesus said, it is finished. And now remember what Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. He said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. What's that sound? That's cooperation. Hearing the word and doing the word. Well, that sounds like God gave the word, but the person, the hearer of the word, has to do the word. He says, the doer of the word, I liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And when the winds came, the rains came, the floods came, beat upon that house, even though it was strong, it stood the test of time. But then he went on to say, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them not. What's that? That's not cooperation. Amen. And does not the word. That's like me saying, Caleb, sweep the floor. He hears these sayings of mine, doesn't do them. Well, there's going to be consequences, right? But he hears these sayings of mine and does them, then there's blessing. All is well. Praise God. And Jesus went on to say, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man. You know what one synonym of the word foolish is? Stupidity. Yeah. It is. He said, you know what people that are stupid do? That's what he's saying. I'm just saying what Jesus said. You take this up with him. He said, foolish man hears the word and does not do them. He said, I will liken that man unto a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the winds came and the rains came and the floods came and beat upon that house, it fell. And not only did it fall, great was the fall. Well, people look around and say, why is life falling? Things are falling. God, why are you letting life fall? Wait a minute. He said, if you'll do the word and cooperate with the word, praise God, you won't fall. Now, the problem is a lot of people don't know what to cooperate with, right? Didn't Hosea 4:6 say, people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge? It's not circumstances that destroy people. Why? Because the word can get you out of any circumstance. It's not, how many of you know this? It's not the test that's the problem. It's not the test that's the problem. Listen, when I was in school, I blamed the test, but how come the girl next to me, the guy next to me, they'd get hundreds on the test and I'd fail? It was the test taker. Amen. Amen. Now, listen, don't misunderstand me. That's not saying that people don't go through things and have tests. Don't misunderstand me. There's a devil. And there's a world that throws things at people. But what I'm saying is God's word is the answer to get out. But a lot of people don't know what to do because they've never heard. And so I remember hearing this verse. And Brother Hagin was on the bed of affliction. I mean, he had an incurable heart disease. And he's crying out to God. Nothing's happening. He's asking for pastors to come visit him. They're not coming to visit him. And when they did come to visit his son, you're going to die. You're going to die. He's crying out to God. He comes across this verse. Whatsoever things you desire. Well, when you're on the bed of affliction, on a sick bed, guess what you desire? You desire healing. He took Jesus. I mean, he just was stupid enough to take Jesus at his word. Can you imagine just taking Jesus at his word and actually believing that what he said pertains to us? And he did. He said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. He thought, my God, that's my answer to get off this bed. That's my answer to get off this bed. But we got to cooperate with that verse. And I'm going to help you with that verse tonight because this will change your whole life. I remember coming across this verse. And I remember the first time I experienced it, 23, I heard about it, 24, I put it to play and saw my first faith, you don't even call it a miracle, but faith in action. Because he says here, if you have a desire and you pray, and if you'll believe when you pray, Jesus said it'll come to pass. Yeah. I mean, that's what Jesus said. So I started thinking about my own life and the things that I needed and change and things I needed help with and things that I needed turned around. Because what is life's idea? Life's in the world, and even religion will tell you, whatever hand you're dealt, that's what the hand you have to play with. The world will say, whatever will be, that you, this is just your lot. You know, you ever heard those sayings? Your lot in life? Well, this verse says you can change your lot in life. Praise God. And I could sit here until tomorrow morning, and this is not a lie. We have a whole notebook full of when I quit my job in 2010 to pastor the church in South Dayton, to start the church in South Dayton, and it put us $2,000 short every single month. And we believed God, and we put this verse into play, and we believed God. And I, my wife started writing in a whole notebook full of things, of all the blessings that started coming to pass through faith. And I could sit here till tomorrow morning, just in that test of trial alone, and tell you all the testimonies of my own life that came from that verse. Amen. Praise God. I am so pumped about tonight. I am so excited about this, but I want to give you revelation on how to get that to work in your life. Amen? Now, here's what I'm saying now about this verse. In anything in the Bible, in any promise of God that you want to obtain, whether it's healing, whether it's prosperity, whether it's victory, whether it's joy, freedom from fear, anxiety, stress, whether it's you're believing God for something in your life to turn, a situation to turn, some favor to come in your life, there's always God's side and there's always man's side. And in this verse, we see it play out with anything, like anything. Just like, well, think about salvation. What was the greatest promise you ever received? Being born again. Not having to go to hell. That's a good thing, amen? But how did it happen? Didn't happen by God just saving you. No, God gave Jesus, told you what the Word said about it. That was his part. What was your part? Believing and receiving it, right? You had a part to play. You didn't just get saved automatically. He did something, then you did something. Well, in this verse, you want this verse to work. I mean, light bulbs ought to be going off in people's mind thinking, my God, I have a desire. Now I have an answer how to bring that thing to pass. And you ought to be thinking, wow, that situation that looks impossible, that situation looks like it can't turn around, that verse is telling me I can because he said, whatsoever things I desire. He didn't cap it. He didn't put a limit on it. He said, whatsoever things you desire. He said, when you pray, believe that you receive and you'll have them. That'll make people excited. But we got to cooperate with that verse for that verse to come to pass. Hallelujah. Now I want to show you what I'm talking about, man's side and God's side. In this verse, man has three jobs, God has one. And it's important for you to know that. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Mike? Well, let me show you what man's three jobs are in this verse, and I'm going to help you with those tonight. Number one, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what sort of things you desire. Number one, you have to have a desire. Amen? You have to have a desire. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm sick, I'm broke, I'm stressed, I'm facing something that's testing, something that's pushing against me, something that's hurting my life, I have a desire for that to change. For me, the desire is not hard, right? Amen. Or, you know, a desire for believing God for a certain thing, have a desire. That's number one. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. We're going number two. Number two, he said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. So the second job you have in that verse is to pray. What's praying? Releasing your faith. Right? For example, when we were $2,000 short every month, go to God, Lord, we need finances. We need a blessing. We need this amount of money, you know. I have a desire to get that need met. I go to God. He says to pray. Now, isn't it interesting? This just came in my heart. Now, I say this a lot when I preach because religion is such a liar. Religion is such a liar that religion spoon feeds people that God will just do whatever God wants to do. And if he doesn't do it, it's because he didn't want to do it. Or it just wasn't your lucky day. And you know what that does to people? It gets people just sitting back on their hands. Because if you can't change it, it's up to God anyways. Well, then what are you going to do? But isn't it interesting that he says you have to desire and you have to pray? Well, what if you don't desire and don't pray? He's telling you got to do something. Amen. And then he says, now this is the kicker of this verse for your job. This is where people get tripped up. He said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Yeah. When you pray, believe. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Now, this is where we need to camp out. This is where people struggle with this verse. This is where Brother Hagin was laying in his sick bed. And this is where the testimonies I could share over and over again was laying there. Lord, I have a desire. Lord, I prayed about this healing. Nothing's coming to pass. Nothing's coming to pass. Nothing's coming to pass. The Lord said, read the verse. I have a desire. I prayed about it. He said, you didn't read the verse good enough. What's the verse say? When you pray. Well, think about that. That's a location in time of when you pray. Well, when you're praying is when you have that desire. Why do you have that desire? Because something's coming against you. You're praying because you're hurting. You're praying because you're sick. You're praying because you're broke. You're praying because you have a desire. You're praying because you need that thing to change. What Jesus is saying in that verse is in that time that you pray, that's when you are to believe that that thing is done and taken care of. And the Lord said, that's where people trip up on it. Why? It's called faith. He's saying you have to believe. Now remember what Pastor Mike's taught us before. I don't see a water bottle here, but we'll use a pick, for example. If I were to say to you right now, how many of you in this room, if I hold this up and say, I'm going to drop this pick, I'm going to drop it right from here to there, how many of you would say, without a shadow of a doubt, Pastor Mike, I'm not going to move after I drop it. Without a shadow of a doubt, when you drop that thing, it's going to hit that pulpit. Every one of your hands would go up. You know the laws of gravity. What am I saying? You've never seen me. I mean, in the history of forever, I've never done this. It's never been seen before, me dropping a pick on the pulpit, but every single one of you would say, I know for sure that's happening. What is that? That's called faith. Faith in something you've never seen. Hey, it worked. But what is that? It's called belief. You say, what's your point? Jesus said for this verse to work, you got to desire and pray, but when you pray, you got to have faith or belief. Well, what's that? That's faith and belief right there. I just demonstrated what belief was. He's saying that in the moment you release your faith, that's when you're sick. That's when you're broke. That's when things aren't going good. That's when hell's bearing down on you. He said, in that moment, you got to believe it's done. Hallelujah. That's why people don't see it a lot of times. They can't get past that. That's the trip, the part that trips people up. And Brother Hagin was laying there. He said, Lord, you didn't read that verse. Believe you receive it. Believe you receive it. Light bulb went off. He said, I see it now. I have to believe I'm healed before it manifests in my body. That's what faith is. What you desire, notice the next word, when. When you pray, believe. When you pray, when you're on that bed of affliction, Brother Hagin, when you pray, you have to believe God heard you and you're healed. That's what it says. That's what it says. And that's what trip people up. Why? Because a lot of people are Thomases. What's a Thomas? I got to see it before I'm going to believe it. Well, that's not faith. That's why people don't receive all that they need, because God is a God that operates on the principle of faith. If you don't believe me, let me just rattle off a few verses to you. Can you mind some rattling? I can rattle. I can yap with the best of them. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 6 and verse 12 says that without faith, you can't receive the promises of God. That's what it says. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, without faith, you can't stop the devil. That's what it says. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, whatsoever's born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That means he says, if you want to be an overcomer in the world, you got to do it by faith. Right. Now, real quick, go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Oh, man, I am just pumped about this. Devil's getting a black eye tonight. Lives are going to change. You know, the devil just tries to hold people down and oppress people. But the Bible says in Ephesians 6 and verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know why the devil doesn't like the faith message? Because the faith message is what quenches his arrows. He hates it. But anyways, James chapter 1, look at what it says in verse 6. Let him ask in what? Faith. Well, what is faith? We just told you what faith is. Faith is belief. Hebrews chapter 1, 11 says this, faith is the substance of things we hope for. It's the evidence of what we can't see. Well, your faith, you said, Pastor Mike, I know that when you drop that pick, it's going to hit the pulpit. You all agreed. I know you did, even though I didn't have you raise your hand. I know you agreed with gravity. Yeah. that when I drop that, it's going to hit. You knew it was going to happen. What was that demonstrating? It was a demonstration of faith. You know, one thing I always say, too, is that it'll help people. You know what's never happened in the history of mankind? The sun has never risen on March 13th, 2019. It's never happened yet. But how many of you know that you know that you know it's coming up tomorrow? You haven't seen it. You've not seen it one time on March 13th, 2019. The sun has never been here yet in 2019 of March 13th. But you know, what is that? That's called belief. You're sold out on it. Well, that's what faith is. And Jesus said you got to believe before you see. Now look at what James chapter 1 and verse 6 says. Let him ask in faith. Well, what is faith? It goes on to say, nothing wavering. What's that mean? When you ask, when you're asking, that's the tough times. That's when you're struggling. That's why you're asking. He says, ask in faith. Well, what's faith? We saw Mark 11:24. What's faith? Believing you got it before you see it. Amen. Nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed to the wind. Now, verse 7. I know people shout me down all the time. They get mad and say, Pastor, Pastor, Pastor. But I'm tired of religion robbing from people. I'm tired of people walking through church doors, sitting in the seats, hearing some sort of fluff for 15 minutes, playing the game of church, not hearing the word, not being told the word, and walking out, and nothing's changing in their life. That is not what the word was for. Jesus wants to radically change your life for the better. He wants you, Psalms 34 says, taste and see that God is good. So many people are talking about in the old days or reading about when God's good. No, he said, I want you to actually experience my goodness. I want you to taste it and see it. And a lot of people aren't tasting and seeing it. Well, I've heard about so-and-so that got healed and so-and-so had this blessing. Or back in the Bible, we read about it. No. We're going to see it around here. And he says, verse 7, the man that wavers and doesn't ask in faith, let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. Why do I want to teach faith? Because I want you to receive from him. Amen. We're 15 minutes in, you already got me screaming. I feel like my suit's getting a little tired. It's because my veins are starting to pop out in my neck a little bit. That's your fault. You're doing this to me. But look what it says. Let not that man think he'll receive anything. Well, there's a whole lot of people that are asking. Go back to Mark 11:24, if you would. There's a whole lot of people doing the desiring and the praying. But they're not coming through on their third part, which is when you pray, believe. Well, he said, if you don't believe, he said, don't expect to receive one thing from me. Now, that's not Pastor Mike being harsh. That's the words trying to help you get into faith. So I want to help you with that tonight. Pastor Mike, how when I desire and pray for my healing, can I believe I receive it before it comes? Receive the money before it comes? The world's saying this. This is saying that. Professionals are saying this. Lawyers are saying this. Judges are saying this. Teachers are saying this. The accountants are saying this. How can I? I'm going to teach you tonight how to do this. Now, two things that you need to get in your heart that will take care of this believing part. It will solve it forever. Are you ready to hear them?
Yes.
Okay. You have to know, when you go to God for your healing or whatever you're desiring, whatever looks impossible, whatever you're experiencing in your life, your family's going through, he said the only way it's going to happen, remember the end of the verse, I never got to God's part, which was, and you'll have them.
Yeah.
He can only bring the healing. He can only bring the finances. If you could, you'd do it yourself, but you can't. He can bring the blessing. He can cause that situation to turn around. Remember, man has three roles, desire, pray, believe. God has his role, one role, which is to cause it to come to pass. Now, if you want that thing to come to pass, there's going to be a couple things that you need to know and be sold out on that you can actually, how you can believe to go to him in times of sickness, in times of poverty, in times of impossible situations. There's two things you got to be sold out if you're going to be a believer before it comes to pass. Number one, or they're both of them, I'll say it, and then we'll go over each and every one of them, is you got to know that he's able, and you got to know that he's willing.
Amen.
If you are sold out on the ability and the willingness of God, nothing will be impossible for you to believe. Nothing. Now, here's the thing, though. When it comes to the ability of God, that's not where people struggle. Most people say what? God can do anything. Right? That's what most people say. Now go with me real quick to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. Oh, thank you for coming on a Tuesday night. It's nice to not just preach to empty wood. I mean, that's what I would. I'd normally you'd preach to empty cloth, you know, but now we got wood in here, so I don't have to preach to empty wood. Although I did get my ministry did start in the wood ministry. You know, I'd sit in my tree stand for hours and just preach to those trees. I'm telling you, some of my best sermons were preached from a deer stand, and that's the truth. I thought, man, the world needs to hear this sermon. I thought it was so good. You know, the trees, they didn't amen me very much, but I thought it was good. Got them all born again, you know, that it might be fulfilled. Or Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1, let's see, it says, when Jesus came down from the multitude, great multitudes followed him, behold, there came a leper, a sick person, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, well, that in the King James just means if you're willing. He said, you can make me clean. Now, notice what he didn't say, Lord, I don't know if you can do it or not. He didn't have trouble knowing if Jesus could. He had trouble with, would Jesus do it? He had a trouble with the wood bar. Well, in verse 3, Jesus takes care of his doctor, and he says, Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will. And then look what happened. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean. But cleansed. Notice this. He didn't get the healing until the doctrine was fixed in his head. He didn't have a problem knowing that Jesus could. His problem was, would Jesus do it? And Jesus said, yeah, of course I'm willing. I'm God in the flesh. I go around, I heal people, praise God. So the able part's not the hard part. Luke 1 verse 37 tells us this. We don't struggle with this part. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because most of you have that idea. God could do anything. Luke 1 and verse 37, look what the Bible says. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You know what that means? Now, I told this story the first night we were here. About the lady that had the student loan problem. Remember that lady? I've told that story about that lady. That poor lady, I bring her up all the time. I don't tell you her name, but I bring her up. And she had that student loan problem, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. She was singing me a sad song, trying to get me all moved and worked up. She said, hundreds of thousands. I said, what's your point? She looked at me, what do you mean my point? It's got this much money. And then I gave her the big, ooh. I was being sarcastic for a reason to get her to a point. I said, you think that God is moved by your hundreds of thousands of dollars? My Bible says that nothing is impossible for him. That means whatever you're facing, whatever is lying to you in your head. I know how the devil works. You know how the devil works? He didn't make Adam and Eve eat from the tree. He talked to them and got them to obey. He can't just kill people. He can't just take people out. He can't just do what he wants. He's got to suggest things to people. How did he try to take Jesus out in Luke chapter 4? He didn't push Jesus off the cliff. He didn't force Jesus to bow down and worship him. What did he do? He talked to him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 that the way the devil works is through thoughts. You know what power the devil has left? Because the Bible already says he's been stripped of his power. Colossians chapter 2 says that Jesus stripped him of all principalities and powers. One translation says put him to naught. One translation says paralyzed him. One translation says disarmed him. Yeah. Bible says the devil's defeated. What's the only power the devil has left? Suggestion. He talks to people's minds and tells them lies. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, casting down imaginations and anything that comes into your head that is anti this book. People get thoughts all the time. God doesn't love me. God doesn't like me. I'm going to be poor. I'm going to be sick the rest of my life. Against what the Bible's saying. And they take those thoughts. But the Bible says don't take those thoughts. It says cast them down. Bring every thought back to the Word. You get a thought in your head. It might seem real. You bring it back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? If it doesn't say it in the Word, you get rid of that thought. And I know how the devil works. He tells people that's never going to change. That's impossible. That's a lie. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So good news, ladies and gentlemen. Good news. That which you're facing, it's not too hard for your God. Amen. It's not too hard for your God. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, I do need to, it said, about with God nothing shall be impossible. This was talking about when Mary gave birth to Jesus, you know, as a virgin. She said, I don't understand it, angels, but I receive it. Nothing shall be too hard for God, you know. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's what she said. But real quick, flip over to Mark 9:23. You need to know this now. Mark 9:23, look what Jesus said. Now remember what the word just said, that nothing's too hard for him. Nothing, right? Well, that's what Jeremiah 32 said, that is there anything too hard for me? I'm God.
Yeah.
And then in chapter 1, verse 37, what we just looked at, it said nothing shall be too impossible for God. Well, that makes you think then that, well, if he does it in my life, great. If he doesn't do it in my life, I guess he just didn't want to. But this verse tells us, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe. What's that another way of saying? If you can have faith. Well, isn't that what we're talking about?
Yes.
When you desire, you pray, and if you can believe or have faith when you pray, it will come to pass in your life. It says the same thing right here.
Yeah.
If you can believe, all things. I don't care what you're facing, what the devil's telling you, what the bank account's telling you, what your body's telling you, what your mind's telling you, what so-and-so's telling you, doesn't matter. This verse says if you can have faith, anything is possible. Well, I guess that we have a role to play. Because it doesn't just say that God can do anything and that he just will do anything. He says, I need your faith. So whether or not it works or not in your life comes down to one simple thing. Can you believe? That's it. So we're teaching you faith. That's what Brother Hagin's laying there. He's like, Lord, I prayed, I desired. Listen, you're not seeing the whole verse. Believe you receive. Believe. I got to believe that when I release my faith for my healing, that it's done. That's faith. It's not faith when the manifestation shows up. You don't need faith then. You can see it. Faith is the unseen realm. You don't need it when you can see it. That's not faith then, praise God. So number one is the ability. Now, here's the thing though. Most people don't struggle with the ability. Most people struggle with God's willingness. Now, here's the problem with the willingness of God. Does God want me to be healed? Does God care about my situation? Does God want this thing turned around? If you're unsure of that, how can you ever have faith? Because think about it. You're believing him for the healing. He's the one that's going to bring the money. He's the one that's going to turn a situation around. If in your mind you're wrestling with, does he want that for me? You can't have pure faith for it. Let me give you an example that will help you. My kids know at times, there's been times, you know, maybe they made late church or just want to have them stay home for the day, you know, and I'll say, you're not going to school today, we're just going to hang out and have fun, you know. They know that I have the ability to keep them home from school tomorrow. They know that. Dad's the one that can do it. Just call up the school and say, they're not coming today. Tell the kids you're home for the day. They know I have the ability. They know they don't have the ability to do it, but they know I have the ability to do it. And they love when that happens. You don't get to hang out. Caleb can go to bed tonight fully aware that Dad has that ability. But is Caleb going to be 100% confident, which is faith, that he will get to stay home tomorrow? Or is he going to be 100% hopeful that Dad lets him stay home tomorrow? Now, if I don't say anything about it, even though he knows I have the ability to do it, he doesn't go to bed confidently thinking he's going to not go to school tomorrow. He's going to be hoping he doesn't go to school tomorrow. Faith is not hope. Faith and hope are not the same thing. I hope it happens. I hope it. No. Faith says, I know it's happening. Well, he's not going to bed with the confidence saying, that's turning around. Or I'm staying home tomorrow. Why? Just because you can't have faith in mere ability.
Yeah.
But if Dad says, hey, buddy, before he goes to bed, just want you to know, calling you in tomorrow, we're going to have a fun day. Hope changes to expectation.
Yes.
He doesn't hope anymore that he's staying home. He is convinced that he's staying home. Why? Dad spoke. Faith is birthed by knowledge of the word. When you find out, see, faith has a mama. What does faith do? Faith is born, and then faith does what it does. It moves mountains. It brings things to pass. It causes the impossible to change. But faith needs to be birthed. How's faith birthed? By faith's mama, just like you were birthed by your mama. How are you? What's faith's mama? Knowledge. When Caleb gets the knowledge of Daddy's will, he doesn't go to bed hoping Daddy will keep him home. He goes to bed knowing, I'm not going to school tomorrow. I'm not going to school tomorrow. He can go to bed and say that all he wants tonight.
Yeah.
It's a pipe dream for him. He's just wishing. He's wishing. But if I call him up on the way home, say, hey, hey, Court, tell Caleb he's not going to school tomorrow. Hey, Dad wants to let you know you don't have to go to school. He's probably listening right now on live stream. He's hoping. I'm sorry, buddy, you're going. I know he's listening. They love it when I talk about them in my sermons. They love it, especially Abby. Woo, she eats that up. No, you're going to school tomorrow. I know you're hoping there, but you're going to go to bed hoping tonight. But if I were to say, hey, tomorrow, they go to bed confident, knowing, well, it's the same thing. How are you going to get into pure faith? How can you, in Mark 11:24, have a desire for something to change that's hurting or needs changed? Pray about it. But then the other thing you have to do is you have to believe it's done. How are you going to do it? When you know what Daddy says, you can rest on his faithfulness. Praise his name forevermore. Go with me to Romans 10 and verse 17. Some of you, Mark 11:24 is called the prayer of faith. That's what it's called. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, you believe, you receive them, and then you will have them, the Bible says. That's called the prayer of faith. No, God, see, people want it outside the boundaries of the Word. They want to get to God by begging and pleading, owning and groaning, but that's not how he's moved. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, come boldly to my throne that you may receive grace and mercy in time of need. What's he saying? If you're going to show up in my presence and try to get something from me, do not come with your tail between your legs. Do not come wondering if it's going to get done. He said, boldly show up like you belong there. Coming to me like you know I'm your Father and like you know I'm going to bless you. He'd say, come to me with moaning and groaning and whining and crying and pleading and griping and groping. No. He said, come boldly to my throne if you want to receive. That's what he said. And he said in Mark 11:24, when you desire, you got to believe you receive. If we think we're going to get it any other way, well, my situation's so bad, God will just do something. If he doesn't, he's just not merciful. He just doesn't want to. Well, what about the children of Israel? The Bible says God gave them a promised land. And they got in doubt and unbelief, didn't they? God said, it's your land, but they didn't believe it. They believed the circumstances. And what happened? God said, because you have not believed, 40 years you're kept out wandering in the wilderness. Guess what they did in 40 years? Pleaded with God. Why? It wasn't his fault. God is bound by his word. If he says faith is how I operate, he can't break that word. He'd be a liar. He's not unmerciful when he sits up there in heaven and watches people. The Bible says the children of Israel moaned and groaned. They wept. They wept. His people, why? Why is this happening? Why is this so hard? Change this. Two people got in, Caleb and Joshua. Why? The Bible said they had another spirit. Spirit of faith. What'd they do? God said, it's yours. They said, it's ours. There were walls in the land, cities already there, and all the other people said, we can't have it because of that. And they said, no, it's ours. God said so. I know. People like to do it the old religion way, and they just sit there and wonder, I guess God doesn't move. I guess God's not real. I guess that's just for Bible times. No. Learn to cooperate with his word. Watch change happen. If you'll pray and believe you receive, it will come to pass. The word's never failed. Now, that believing part, the willingness is where people get tripped up on. Romans 10:17. Now, here's the thing. How do you know he's willing? Read the will. Well, I wonder what Granny so-and-so left me. Read the will. I wonder what Granny so-and-so wanted me to have. Read the will. Find out if your name's in it. If your name's in it, it's got stuff under it. Granny so-and-so wanted you to have it. Amen? Just read the will. Well, you know what the Bible's called? The will and testament of Jesus Christ. This is the will. This is the will. Oh, I just wonder what God wants. Read the will. I just wonder what God has for me. Read the will. Oh, God, he's such a mystery. We could never find out. No, he clearly revealed himself in his will. What does God want for me? Read the will. The will sitting on your table. I just wonder what Granny so-and-so wanted for me. How could one ever know? And the lawyer would look at that person and say, dummy, read the will. Amen. His will. Now listen to what a will and testament is legally. It's a legal document in which a person expresses their wishes as to how their stuff is to be distributed to others at death. The Bible is God's will and testament of what He left us.
Amen.
Romans 10:17 says this. So then, faith. Well, there it is, what you need to receive. Believe you receive. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Do you know why faith comes when you hear the Word of God? Because when you hear the Word of God, you hear His will. You know why faith for Caleb to stay home from school? Why when he gets faith? When he hears Daddy's Word. Yeah, you can stay home. Yeah, you can stay home. Not tonight. Yeah, you can stay home. I mean, tomorrow. You're going tomorrow. I know He's listening. Daddy says, you can stay home. He hears Daddy's Word. What's he know? All of a sudden, faith rose up on the inside of him. Why? He found out what the one that can cause it to come to pass found out what his take was on it. You know why people don't have faith for things? They have no idea. We have a lady down in the nursery. I use her example all the time. She's not the only one, but she's here tonight, and she's got a good testimony, Julie, who had fibromyalgia and suffered with acute chronic asthma, breathing treatments all the time, medication, bedridden. One year of school, she missed, I think, more than half the days of school. Was in church, loved God. Was in church and loved Jesus. If she would have died, she'd have gone to heaven. She was His child. Nothing was happening. Nothing was changing. Why? God doesn't just reach down. That's why He said, my people are destroyed because they do not know. That's why Jesus said in John 8:32, until you know the truth, you won't be set free. Yes, you're in bondage, and yes, God sees you in bondage, and He's not unmerciful, sitting you watching you there in bondage and doing nothing. He's not unmerciful. He can't break His Word. That's why it's so important to be in a church that teaches the Word, to learn the Word, find out what the Word says, because if you don't know, you will be destroyed. You will be hurt. You will be in bondage in situations. And He said, if you'll know the truth, if you'll know it, just like Caleb, you know the truth? Oh, now I'm set free. Now I know what to believe for. So many people just don't know. And she came out of that church that she was in and came into our church. And I refused to not preach the Bible. I don't care how many people we have. I don't care if we have a ton of people or little people. I'm going to preach the Word. Why? I got to stand before the King someday. And I've seen it change too many lives for me to go away from it and start preaching some fluffy message. And she came into the Word. And when she came into the Word, I was actually preaching a series on divine healing. Actually preaching on divine healing when she came into that. She's like, I never heard this before. Yeah. Never heard this before. Didn't know that I didn't have to be sick. I was spoon-fed that you just got whatever you got. You got. This is life. You know this is life. Life deals you a hand. You got to deal with it. No, you don't. No, you don't. You can have what He says. And if healing is one of the things He says you can have it. And she heard about it. What'd she start doing? The Word. Started doing the Word. What? Guess how many medications she's on now? Zero. Guess how much symptoms of fibromyalgia she has now? Zero. Amen. It's true. I could go down the line of telling you people and testimonies. Y'all have testimonies of times it worked for you. Praise God. But why? How do you know when He's willing? Because how do you know to get faith? Hear the Word. You get faith. Why? Because you know what He wants for you. I don't have too much time to go here. Let's go to 1 John 5 and verse 14. It's only 7. You know, I try to preach for no longer than an hour on Tuesday. That'd be about 7:15. So give me a little time here, people. I'm just messing with you. Go to 1 John 5 and verse 14. Now look at this. This is great. I love this verse. And this is the confidence. What's confidence mean? You're sure that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to what? His will. What's His will? Telling you what He wants for you. He says, when you're going through something, find out what I said about it. Because what I said about it is what you can have. If you'll come to me, He still wants you to come to Him. Notice what we talked about on Saturday. Even though it's God's will for everybody to be saved, not everybody's saved. Just because God's will is something doesn't mean it'll come to pass. God wants everybody to be born again. We proved that Saturday night through the Scripture, 3-4 different places. He wants everybody saved, but not everybody saved. Why? They haven't cooperated with His Word yet. That's how it works. He says, this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, when you're going through something, you have to ask, find out what he says about it. The Bible says he'll hear you. If we ask according to his will, his ears are open to you. Hoo-wee. Now look at verse 15. If you don't have your shouting clothes on, you'll have them on after I read this verse. It says, and if we know he hears us. Now you say, Pastor, how do we know he hears us? The verse before told you. If we ask according to his will, he said, I hear you. If this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask according to his will, he said, I hear you. And if we know he hears us, how do we know he hears us? If we ask according to his will. You have God's ear when you ask according to his will. He said, I hear you. Whatsoever we ask, we have it. Prayer is not meant to be. Now, when I say the word Hail Mary, I'm not talking about the Catholic version of the Hail Mary. I'm talking about the football Hail Mary, which is where football got it from, was actually from, you know, the idea of prayer that people just hope God hears them, you know, at times. I'm not saying that's how Catholics do it, but that's where the Hail Mary came from. So they throw the ball up in the end zone at the end of the game. And they just hope. It's not a sure play. It's like the last minute, you know, and they're down, and they just heave that up. They call it a Hail Mary. Just hoping it lands in the right hands. That's how people pray. Just throwing up Hail Marys to God. I hope he hears me. I hope it changes. Why do you hope when he says you can be guaranteed every time you pray to have exactly what you're praying for? If you'll do it his way. This is the confidence we have in him. We ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know he hears us, how do we know he hears us? Ask according to his will. If we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we have it. Whatever we ask, that's what. So what did Brother Hagin do? Mark 11, 23, 24. Desired, prayed to be healed. How did he believe he received it? He had to find out what God's will was on healing. Found out what God's will was on healing. Then he released his face and said, I got it. I got my healing. He said, I have it. The Lord said, I have it. The Lord said, I have it. Doesn't matter if it hasn't shown up yet. The Lord said in his eyes, I got it. I got it. It always shows up in the spirit realm before it does in the natural realm. Praise God. Woo-wee. Psalms 37 and verse 4. Now I want to help people that have this thought in their head. Pastor, where's the verse for that? Where's the verse for what I'm dealing with? You know, things like finances and sickness and troubled mind and emotions and things. There's specific verses. But what about the person that, I'll give you an example of my own life. You know, I had a desire. Excuse me. I had a desire to get a hunting property in the Midwest, to have a connection out there. I've always loved white-tailed deer ever since I was a little boy. I don't know why. I've just always been in there. And I have had a strong archery hunting desire since I was little. I had a desire to hunt in the Midwest where the biggest bucks are killed, you know, the biggest bucks they see. And I had a desire, strong desire for that in my heart. Now, there's no verse in the Bible that tells me that I can believe. I have not found chapter and verse that says, Pastor Mike Anderson, you can believe for a hunting property connection in the Midwest. Have you? If you find one, you let me know. It's not in there. I've looked. And so I thought, but I have this strong desire in there, strong desire for it. Well, didn't he say whatsoever things you desire? Let me help you with something. Psalm 37, verse 4, look what it says. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, you can look at that two ways. One way is whatever you're desiring for, if you delight in him, they'll come to pass. But the other way you can look at that, and it's true, is that God actually puts desires in your heart. If you'll delight yourself in him, he will give you desires for things. Now, we know that this verse mostly cannot be talking about coming to pass of it because the next verse covers that. The Bible says if you'll delight yourself in God, he's going to put things in your heart that you have a desire for that might not necessarily be a verse, you know, because you have sickness, you have a desire for it. There's verses on that. You're broke, you have a desire to be prosperous. There's verses on that. But there's some things, a hunting property in the Midwest, there's no verse on that, but I had a desire for it. Well, I don't know why I have a desire to hunt, why I love it so much, why it brings me so much blessing. Well, I believe he put it in there. But the Bible says if I delight myself in him, he'll put desires in my heart. And then look what it says in verse 5. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Bring what to pass? Those desires. The desires he puts in your heart. So if you say, Pastor, I see it in the Word, but how do I know that He's willing? Well, here's how you do this. When you have a desire for something that you can't find specific Scripture for, bring it to Him. I brought that to Him. I said, Lord, I had no check in my heart. I said, I know that's You. I know that's You. And I released my faith for it. I don't have time to get in the testimony of it, but a miracle came, and I got my hunting property in the Midwest. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, this is last, and let's close with this. Give me at least 5 minutes here, and we'll get out of here. Go back to Mark 11, 24. This verse will get you into things that you can't get yourself into other than by Him. Whatsoever things you desire. Remember, you have a job here. You have three jobs. Desire, pray, and believe. Now, I helped you with your believing part by showing you how that He's able and showing you how to know He's willing. Find out in the Word. That'll take care of. When you know He wants it for you, you have faith. Amen. If He wants it for me, so be it. But look what it says. And you shall have them. That's the last part of that verse. That's not your part. Why? You can't bring your healing to pass. You can't bring that change. You can't turn that situation around. The Bible says that's God's job. You have three jobs in that verse. God has one job. Now you say, why is He only get one and we get three? Well, He's got the hardest one. The bringing it to pass is the most difficult one, not for Him, but for us. That's why we're struggling, because we can't make it happen. You shall have them. Now this is what I want you to understand. If you're going to be a faith person, what's faith mean? Notice He didn't say you'll have them tomorrow. Notice He didn't say you'll have it in a week. Bible says in Hebrews 6 and verse 12, you'll have faith and patience. Sometimes it takes things in the natural to change, to turn, things, people to be put in place, situation to turn around, and it takes time. He says you have to have faith through the whole thing. If it takes 6 months, every day you wake up believing, I got it. Do you know how many days Brother Hagin woke up with an incurable disease? The doctors told him he's going to die, but he was convinced with the words. He said, I'm healed. I got my healing. Hasn't shown up in my body yet, but I got it. It's mine. It belongs to me. And then one day, bam, the manifestation came. It's true. I remember the story he told about the woman that had the growth on her face. Remember that story, Pastor Ray? And he prayed for her. He said, sister, the word says whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive. He said, now I'm going to lay hands on you. He said, the Bible says you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. He laid hands on her and cursed that thing on her face, that growth on her face, and nothing changed. And he said to her, he said, don't be alarmed. We go back and look in the mirror. He said, we prayed. Jesus said it would come to pass. He said, I want you every day that you think about that thing, say, Father, I thank you. On such and such a day when we prayed and released my faith, I received my healing. That's what he told her to do. I pray, believe that. She'd wake up the next day, look in the mirror, it's still there. She'd go to bed, see it out of the corner, right, it's still there. Every time she'd see it, every time she'd think about it, she'd say, Father, I thank you. On such and such a time, I prayed, released my faith, according to Mark 11, 24. You said if I'd believe, I received it. I believed back then, I received it. I'm not waiting for the manifestation to believe it. I believe I got it because your word says so. She did that. Day two went by. Day three went by. Day four went by. How many of you know some people after day one would be like, well, that didn't work. Symptoms are still there. Situation hasn't changed. That didn't work. Well, it wouldn't be faith if it happened immediately. We're thankful for the quick and immediate ones, but the endurance is faith. Believe in God when it looks like it's getting worse. That's faith. Day five went by. Day six went by. Day seven went by. Day eight went by. Day nine went by. Father, I thank you. I received my healing 9 days ago, such a time. Day 10 goes by. She wakes up. It's gone. Completely gone. Well, what did she do? Stayed in faith. Well, the Bible says, let them not waver. That means there's going to be chances to waver. What are the chances to waver? Day three when it doesn't change. What's a chance to waver? Month six when it hasn't changed. He says, if you waver, you won't receive. What's that mean? Every day, Father, I thank you, I receive. Father, I thank you, I receive. Father, I got that. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's just how it works. Now, here's what I want you to know about that verse. He said, you'll have them. Now, here's what you can't get tripped up in. If you're going to continue to believe through the trials when things get worse and don't look right, you can't get in your mind about how it's going to happen. The how is not your job. If you start thinking about the how, you're going to start doing His job. You all remember when the Green Bay Packers a couple years ago should have gone to the Super Bowl, and instead the Seattle Seahawks went. You remember what happened, don't you? Well, the Green Bay Packers should have went to the Super Bowl. They were kicking at the end an onside kick. All you do for onside kick of the receiving team is just grab the ball. The game's over. It's one of those Hail Mary type plays. And they kicked it to the guy, and the guy for the Green Bay Packers, there was a guy standing here and a guy standing here. And the guy standing here was not supposed to go after the ball. The coaches told him, no matter where the ball is, I don't care if the ball is falling into your arms, your job is just to block the guy in front of you. The guy next to you that's got the better hands is going to grab the ball. You just take care of the guy in front of you and give the guy behind you a clear lane to catch that ball. That was his job. No matter what, do your job. The coach said, we're going to the Super Bowl. Oh, that ball gets kicked and it's spinning and it's falling right in his hands. What'd coach say? I don't care where the ball is. Your job is to block the guy in front of you. His job is to catch the ball after you block the guy in front of you. The guy sees the ball. His eyes get big. Ooh, my chance to catch that ball and take us to the Super Bowl. He jumps up in the air. You can watch the tape. Bounces off of his hands into the Seattle Seahawks player. They then get the ball back, go down the field and score, and go to the Super Bowl in Green Bay's home with Pastor Mike eating Cheetos on Super Bowl Sunday. That's what happened. I'm telling you. Why'd it happen? They didn't do their job. Your job is simple. Pray, desire, pray, and believe. If you start thinking about how, it's going to trip you up. You will fail in the natural doing a job that you're not qualified to do. You're not qualified to bring the healing. Why are you thinking about how to do it? You're not qualified to bring that money. Why are you thinking about how to do it? How many of you do your own dental work? I have a toothache. I would go home and work on that. Or, oh, I need stitches. Can you get honey, can you get the sewing kit out? I got a major gash in my arm. None of you. How many of you, for me this would ring true, is their own mechanic? No, why? I get in trouble doing jobs that I'm not qualified for. But Christians do it all the time. God's job is to bring it to pass, and Christians start meddling in God's jobs, and it messes them up.
Yeah, true.
And I'll close with this because we don't have time to go any further. Do you remember when God told Moses, what did he say? Stretch forth your rod. You remember the story, don't you? I'll turn this off. Man, the battery will run down. I'll need it tomorrow night. It won't be there. The Egyptians are chasing them at the Red Sea. See, some of you are facing things. There's no way it's going to turn around. I mean, there's nothing on the horizon. There's no natural way. There's no money. There's no financial hope. The authorities, the people in the positions of power are saying such and such, whatever. All sorts of different situations here tonight. And there's no possible way. And you can't, and for life you think, I don't understand how that could work, how that could turn around. Stop it. You're not doing your job. When you start thinking about his job, it causes you to start to doubt because you start to think how big it is and how hard it is, and it can't come to pass. It's not your job. But remember, the Egyptians are bearing down, and there's a Red Sea in front of them with no boat, no yacht, no speedboat, no jet skis, no rafts, no canoes. They either go back and get taken, or they go out and drown in the water with their family and their kids. And what does God say? Moses, stretch forth your hand over the water. What was Moses' job? Just do what God said to do. Now, what if Moses would have said, do you see what's coming? What in the world is this going to do? Or Moses starts thinking, oh, we can't do that. Everybody, all people that are lighter, hop on someone's back and let's try to make it, or let's try to outrun them this way. No. The only way to escape them was across that water. And what if Moses would have gotten his head? What about you when you get in your head? Well, the doctor said, but I can see this. Well, the court said, the judges said, the people said, this said, that said. You're getting into God's territory. Your territory is just to believe he can do it and to believe that he wants to do it. That's it. Oh, I can't do that, Lord. It doesn't make sense. Oh, the Egyptians would have got him. Well, what did Moses do? I don't understand this. I don't know how, but Lord, you said it. Straight across. Not worried about it. Hallelujah. Did you receive tonight? Father, thank you for the word tonight. We're so grateful and so thankful. Father, this verse will help us. Faith will help us, Lord. The message of faith will help us. It'll change situations. It'll move mountains. Father, I pray that everyone would get excited about this, that there'd be a revelation, a knowing of this verse in their heart. Father, that it would become real and alive to them, Father, that what they're facing doesn't have to be the end of it, that there's a chance to turn around, and that, Father, Just because it doesn't look like you're working doesn't mean that it's because you don't want to work. And that's good. Doesn't mean because you don't want to help out. But we need to cooperate with you, and faith is how we cooperate with you. So, Lord, we thank you for situations turning around, situations changing. Lord, we give you the glory and the praise for it. Now, I'm aware that people in here are born again, but we're on live stream right now. And if there's someone listening online or in the future by the archive, and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to go to heaven, heaven is so simple to get to. It's such an easy destination to achieve. It has nothing to do with good works outweighing bad works, or if you go to church, or if you're generous. No, the Bible says the only way to heaven is through Jesus. If you're listening to my voice and you say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, there's only two qualifications to get into heaven. That's believing in Jesus and receiving him. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed here tonight. If by chance you've never received Jesus in here, if there's someone in here that's never received him, all you have to do is cry out his name. I don't believe that's the case tonight. But if you're listening online, all you have to do is say, Lord, I do believe in you. Jesus said, if you believe, you won't perish. Say, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. The Bible says he stands at the door of your heart knocking. Why? Somebody knocks on your door. Why? They want you to open it. Jesus wants you to open your heart to him. How do you open your heart to him? Lord, I believe in you. I believe in you, and I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll pray that prayer, our phone number's on there, email address is on there. You can give us, shoot us a text message, a phone call, whatever. Whatever's easiest for you, an email, let us know. You receive Jesus, and we'll get you set up in a good Bible teaching church so you can actually start to learn all that God has for you. Let's just thank him tonight. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We're so grateful and so thankful for all that you've done, for all that you've given. We thank you for all the help that we've received tonight. We thank you for situations changing and turning around. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.
So we search for you, Lord. We seek you.